Hey everybody, this is Mark Manson with a commentary on fear of missing out, how I learned to stop worrying and love Instagram. The irony of this post is I don't actually love Instagram. I just really wanted to make a reference to Dr. Strangelove. I mean, I don't have anything against Instagram, but, you know, I don't know. It made for the coolest title. That said, I am kind of a social media whore, and I have struggled with this over the years. So this is definitely one of those articles that I wrote. The inspiration was myself, but I did draw on the experiences of a lot of people around me. You know, the FOMO with myself, it's funny. It's, you know, the travel thing is true, but for me, I actually notice I get FOMO about information. Like I'm such like a research nerd that I'm one of these people. For every book, I buy like 20 books a month, and I read maybe like 5 or 6 books a month. So my apartment is just like constantly overflowing with all these books that when I bought them, I was like, oh wow, I really want to learn about that. And then 2 days later, I'm like, why did I buy this? Like, you know, and so that's kind of where my FOMO kicks in a lot. For me, it was less a social thing, and it was more like a experience. It was like more of a curiosity thing, and I've had to like learn how to tame that and pull it back a little bit. That said, like a lot of the examples or the discussion used in this article, I use travel, primarily travel and socializing, because I think those are two of the most common ones. And it's actually my wife really struggles with both of those. And so she and I have had a lot of conversations over the last year about it. And so I kind of wanted to do, I don't know, I've just seen so much shit about FOMO over the last year. And one of the things too, you know, you've probably, if you've been keeping up with the site, like I've written a lot of articles in the last couple of years about like where I'm very concerned about the deterioration of attention and focus going on. And at some point this summer, I kind of made the connection that FOMO is an extension of that, that if you're experiencing FOMO, basically FOMO is the opposite of being present and focusing on your present experience. Because FOMO is by definition, like imagining being somewhere else or being somebody else, being a better experience than whatever you're dealing with now. So it's in a weird way, it's like a form of avoidance. And so with that connection in mind, and then just knowing like how common of a thing this is, like everybody seems to be talking about the topic these days. I thought it was appropriate to do a piece on it, and kind of talk about how I've dealt with it in the past and how my wife's kind of dealing with it, and hopefully make that connection with a lot of people. The other connection in this piece that I'm kind of proud of is the realization of how you're basically, you're always giving something up. I think when you suffer from FOMO, and this is actually, again, my own work kind of helped me with this, like chapter 2 of Subtle Art, and then the article on the site called Most Important Question, like that whole discussion about choosing your struggles and how everything comes with an associated cost and things like that. Like that actually helped me deal with this a lot, because, you know, in the past I would just see pursuing these things, these like big, sexy, exotic experiences. I would only see like the benefits of them. I wouldn't realize what I was giving up to go chase those experiences. And it's something that, you know, my wife and I, we've been experiencing a lot in our own lives the past couple of years. We've actually like made a point to stay home more, because what we've realized is like, you know, living in New York and I get to travel a lot for my work, and she's from South America, so we travel down there a lot. Like, it's very cool, but we give up so much of the comfort and like stability of our home life. I become way less productive. My writing gets worse. I'm not able to like read and focus as well. And I didn't start figuring that out till I was like 30. I was like, oh shit, I'm like giving up all these things. And I had no idea. And so kind of making that bridge, you know, between that concept of choosing your struggle and like relating that to it. I think that's something that needs to be said more often. I really think that there just needs to be like a big argument for boredom, about for the value of boredom. And I actually, the next book that I'm working on, I'm going to have a big section about that, about why boredom is important and why we should actually like make space to be bored in our lives. And I don't mean bored as in like sitting around feeling like we're wasting our time, but like bored as in like mundane, you know, like mundane stuff is important. And a lot of times it's healthy, you know, like you don't want your relationship to be exciting all the time. Like the most successful relationships are mundane a lot of the times. Like it's just two people sitting around a house for years on end. That's boring. That's not exciting, but that is actually what's healthy and makes people happy. So, I think there's an interesting contradiction between excitement and happiness sometimes. And, I think people confuse the two, and I think FOMO confuses the two. And it's an area that I'm very interested in right now, and I'm going to be doing more writing about. So keep an eye out.